On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Thanks so much, Jim. I love the honesty of the gospel writer there. The women come back with the greatest news in history, and the men didn't believe. Only time that's ever happened, I'm sure. I wonder if you've ever had something amazing and you just don't know how to communicate it. People don't believe you. So here we are today thinking about Jesus being risen. We had a 6 o'clock service this morning at the top of Old Sarum. And I was standing next to someone saying, I'm going to go back home now and see if my son has risen yet. Suspecting not. What's it all about? Why do Christians celebrate Easter? First of all, I want to say it's because of resurrection, not resuscitation. I know that there are lots of children, so I'm not going to be graphic, but no one ever recovered from crucifixion. The Romans were really good at killing people, and they did stay dead. But Jesus was raised from death. I remember as a child thinking, but Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. Isn't that a bigger miracle? But the thing is, Lazarus was raised to his old life. In a sense, he was resuscitated. He was truly dead, but it was the old Lazarus. Whereas when Jesus was raised, it was with a whole new resurrection life, which no one had ever had before, eternal life. Just as Jesus said at the tomb of his dear friend, Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life." In 2 days' time, I'll be taking a funeral, and the Christian burial service begins with Jesus' words. At the grave of his friend, Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life." Jesus really knew what he was talking about. And this is the hope for everyone who has trust in Jesus. And secondly, I is for inheritance. It just popped into my head this morning, but 5 years ago, my dad died. And he was a lovely man, but he was 98 and he was getting a bit forgetful. And my sister said, "Look, he's got so many clothes, let's get rid of them." And I thought, I'll just check the pockets. And he'd had a habit of putting £20 notes in his pocket and forgetting they were there, something I have never done. But Sue and I discovered from his jacket pockets over £500 in £20. And it sort of lightened the load of clearing out stuff because there was an inheritance there. But there's some stuff is better even than money. And what the deal is that God says, "All that I have is in the hands of my Son." But if we say we belong to the Son, then everything that Jesus has is ours. And Jesus says, "I'm yours and you are mine." Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, begins his letter, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance which can never perish, spoil, or fade." So when Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you to be with me," he knows what he's talking about. He can offer it and deliver it. And then the S is for sin. Sin's a very little word, but it is a big problem. It's really the biggest problem we face. Sin is all the rubbish in my life and in yours. And Jesus didn't deserve to die for his... He'd done nothing wrong, but I have. And actually, if Jesus had paid just for my sin, that feels quite a lot. But what we believe as followers of Jesus, that he paid for the sin of the whole world, is unimaginable what that is. There's a Good Friday hymn we sang. "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate," finish it off if you know it, "of heaven and let us in." Jesus, he's the only way we can get back to the Father and recover what was lost in the Garden of Eden. But it's only because of the resurrection we know the sacrifice was enough. If he'd stayed dead, we might have said for the cross, "Thank you so much." But we'd always have that nagging doubt. Was it enough? But the resurrection proves, of course it was. And so what Paul says in one of his letters, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, to pay for them, and was raised to life for our justification. Because of the resurrection, we know we are justified, just as if I'd never sinned. That's the good news. And it's founded on facts. And the first fact was the empty tomb. Why is that good news? Because it was the first evidence of God's mighty act of power. The stone was rolled away. Not to let Jesus out, but to let us and the witnesses see in. And we read, "He is not here, for he has been raised." And let's be clear, Jesus didn't need help to be raised to a glorious new life. Like, "Whew, been dead quite a long time. I'm really a bit exhausted." He was in a new resurrection body. It wasn't to let him out. The stone was rolled away to let us see in. And the disciples, he didn't need help, but the disciples did. They needed help to believe the most amazing thing in human history. The stone rolled across the tomb proves his death, and the stone rolled away proves his resurrection life. And it's now. The implication of it is now. It's tempting. Some of us live in the past, and some of us live in the future. But Jesus always meets us right now. When Jesus was at the grave of his friend Lazarus, Martha came out. She was really cross and sad and frustrated and disappointed. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus says, "Your brother will rise again." I say, "Oh, I know, he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She can imagine the activity of God in the past or in the distant future. And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," right now. And what Paul says to the Corinthians is, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Now's the only time we can actually respond. And so that's the question. If it is true about the resurrection, about the inheritance we have in him, if sin has been dealt with at the cross and the empty tomb proves that we're justified before God, now what will we do? And that's why Kirk and Luke in the 9:30 service were the first part of the baptism service. They're probably just out of the water now. And in a moment, Dave's going to respond by saying, "Yeah, I trust this Jesus as well." Is it your faith? I hope it is. If you're not sure what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I'll hang around all day for you. I'd love you to have a chat conversation or just to reassure you in prayer, if that would be helpful, or to any of our staff here to have a chat. But we've got good news, so do join in. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And what I'm going to do after the baptism, we'll then have some short prayers, but I'll leave the water here in the font. And if during the final hymn, which will be Thine Be the Glory, spoiler alert, just come forward. And what you could do, you could reaffirm, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. His blood avails for me. I'm washed because of what Jesus did. So it's reaffirming your baptism vows. So just feel free to do that. I'll leave the water here afterwards, though, so you can do it if you want to be like Nicodemus, a private disciple. But you're really welcome to respond.